Good morning. To be honest, today might not be the good morning to many people today because many people are sick, as you can see the many chairs empty, and they're struggling with their severe health issues. And also a bunch of groups of people who went on a ski trip. And especially, but I would like to encourage all of us to make a call to someone who do not not sitting in here in this morning, and make a call and let them know that you care. Many people are not doing well because of all the sickness, and also especially the elderly people. I would like to have you to take an initiative contact to those people to let them know that they are being cared by you and that they're being thought by you. And I'm doing whatever I can do, but a church is not one person. Church is a people like you and me. We need to do the things together. Otherwise, we cannot be a church. Today's topic is being church together. Let's be church. And being a church, well, being church together requires several things. First thing is the people. We need a people. And one day the pastors heard a rich man in the church saying, well, in church officially, because he joined the church, but he never been participating in worship or any other things. And he called the pastor and tell him that, "Pastor, do you know that I am not attending your church even though I'm a member to your church?" And perhaps you might notice that. And the pastor responds, "Yes, I have been noticing that. And what's up?" And this rich man said, "You know what, Pastor? I do not go to church because there are so many hypocrites. And that disturbing me. I do not want to be part of this group, but I am a member to the church." And a pastor smiling, and as he said, "Oh, don't let that keep you away. There is always extra room for one more person, you know?" And he was thinking. And still the conversation went on. And pastor was a little bit fed up with all the excuses he was given for not being in the church. And given over the years as to why people, including him, don't go to church. And in response to his sayings about reason why he's not going to church, many people are not going to church, he decided to pull out one of the sources in his drawer and decided to share. This resource is called "The 10 Reasons Why I Never Wash." And it is similar to the 10 reasons why I do not go to church. First, I was forced to as a child. Second, people who wash are hypocrites. They think that they are cleaner than anybody else. Third, there are so many different kinds of soap. I cannot decide which one is the best. Which means that there are so many churches, I don't know which church is the best church to go. Number four, I used to wash, but I got bored and stopped. I used to go to church, but it's boring. I don't want to go. That is another reason. Fifth reason, I wash only on special occasions. Like Christmas, Easter. I go to church occasionally on Christmas and Easter. And a sixth reason why people never wash or never go to church is none of my friends wash. None of my friends go to church. Because of that, I don't want to go to church. And the seventh reason, I will start washing when I get older or dirtier. And I not go to church when I get near to the death. That's bottom line is. The eighth reason why I never wash is because I cannot spare the time. I have no time to wash. I have no time to go to church. Ninth reason why people do not wash or do not go to church is the bathroom is never warm enough in winter and cold enough in summer. Well, we complain about the weather, temperature here, too hot, too cold. We talk about it. We call the trustee. Trustee, do something about temperatures. That causes some people not coming to church. Lastly, but not leastly, 10th reason, people who make soap are only after my money. People think the church is going after their money in the bare pocket. It is not true. There are so many excuses. People are not washing. People are not coming to church. But I'm glad you came to church to worship our awesome God, even though weather broadcast said we might have a snowstorm. And even though some people are not physically 100% well, but you came because you are desiring to worship God. I'm glad you came. As you and I are in the same boat right now to worship God, probably this passage, the message for today is kind of a reshaping, restrengthening the reason to be the church together and how to be the church together. We use the term church in a various way. I go to church. Where is your church? Oftentimes we said our church is at the corner of the Spring School in Schaumburg. That case, the church is Koreakon, which means that it talks about the building. I go to this church located 1600 West Schaumburg Road. That's the physical church with the building it talks about. But another way of talk about church is ecclesia, which means the organism, the group of people to get together for the one common purpose, to give glory to God. That is called the church. And the concept of church did not exist in the Old Testament. But the concept of church been formed through the Pentecostal event. When people were gathered together seeking to hear the voice of God and discern the will of God and desire of God, the Holy Spirit come and came and rest upon these people. And the church were born. That moment when people were gathered and the Spirit rest upon them to empower them. That is the beginning of the church we call Pentecost. Today we use the term church to refer to the worship service itself related to ecclesia. The scripture passage that we just read or heard talks about the gathering of the Jewish people in Jerusalem for the purpose of listening to the word of God. Although they did not know the term, you might say that they were having church if you attentively listen to the voice in the scripture. The exciting things about this passage is that it gives us some good principles how to be the church. Sometimes we know it, but practicing it is a little bit hard. Probably you know what I'm going to be talking about today, but let's reinforce what we know. So we can practice more practically with the sincerity. After being captive in Babylon for 70 years, Israelites, the people of Israel, they exile and sent back to their homeland. And as soon they landed at their homeland, they rebuilt the temple. And then Nehemiah, during his time, they rebuilt the wall around the temple. The passage we just read is happening right after they rebuild the walls of the temple, which is the finishing of the reconstruction of the wall. They gather together to worship God. Beginning of their civil calendar, which is called on the first day of the seventh month. That is the beginning of their civil calendar. And after they finish the reconstruction of the temple and the wall, and the beginning of their new year, they start to worship. They got together to seeking the voice of God, and seeking the desire of God. To have a church, we need people. And not just regular people, just whatever people, but these passages, the passages we just read in Nehemiah chapter 8, clearly define what kind of people we needed to have in order to have a church. Verse 1 and 2, can we show the verse 1 and 2 of Nehemiah chapter 8? Let's read it together, verse 1 and 2. Ready? Go. All the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the scribe, to bring out of the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. Let's stop there. Verse 1, it said that they were all gathered. The people just, in order to have a church, we need a people. Not just people all of the places, but people gather up. People who attend. People like you and me who are seeking to attend the worship. It is one of the main requirements. As we look around, we see the empty chairs. Why we are not filled up this chair? Have you thought about it? Do you know why your friends are not sitting next to you every week? Have you made a call for them? Do you check that how well they are or not? And a worship team try to discern and try to evaluate how we can bring more people to attend and worship God so that many people in this community can experience joy of salvation, which is the outcome of the worship. And then people gather together, attending. People who attend are the first required person or the task or principle to have a church. Verse 2 tells us that men, women, and children who could understand were all present. I want you to encourage you to be the church attending as you are. Not just occasionally, sporadically attending in the church, attending the worship service. But it's the attendee who finds a very little excuse for missing church. Someone who is consistent in getting to church as he is getting to work. Someone who is consistent in getting his children to church as he's getting them to baseball game or the school. Coming to church is not casual. It is a big commitment. No other place we can talk about the source of our being, which is the source of our joy and happiness we are pursuing. Church is the place where our kids gonna learn about God and source of their being, Creator. Church. If the parents do not bring the youngsters to the church, where they're gonna learn? Where they're gonna have a joy? The source of joy. Church is the place. The worshipful place is the place that we needed to be. As we are pursuing the happiness and a joyful life, come to church. If someone is grieving at the loss of something or they're not happy like you are, bring them to the church. If this church is not the right one, but bring to the church somewhere in a worship. That is a source. That is a source of the joyful spirit we can carry. Saints are expected to be regular attendees at church. The people in Nehemiah's day were attendees. Not just attendees. Verse 1, it says, they were gathered together as one. Which means they were allies. Which means that they were together and united. They were unified in their desire to be there. They were united in their desire to hear the word of God presented. They called for Ezra, the priest, to bring out the word of God and read the scripture together. They were not just listening to the preachers and preach, but they were participating in it. They were together to seek God and God's desire. I believe we got together in this morning as allies, as united in Christ, have a hunger for the Word of God. The only way we will be true allies is when each one of us has the same desire. What brought you in this morning? I came to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't come because I'm a pastor, but I came because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I came to share the joy of the salvation with you in worship. How about you? What brought you here? I'm encouraging all of us to think through. To have church, we need the people who are attend and allies together. The people not just attending and allies together. But verse 3, it talks about another one. Let's see that verse 3 together. Ready? Go. He read it all aloud from the daybreak till noon, as he faced the square before the water gate, in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Attentively. They were not just folding their arms and rolling their thumb. And let's see how choir will perform. Or let's see how music people will sing aloud. Or let's see how the sun is going to be performing so-called. Hear the word of God. Let's see how other people will make me joyful in this service. It never is going to happen. Attentive people we needed. Nehemiah clearly said that we need a people who attendees and allies and attentively listening, attentively seeking the will of God. I check out the other translation of this passage, the verse 3 of the Nehemiah chapter 8, and they all come to the same conclusion. The people pay attention to what was being read, those scripture readings. We oftentimes, we allow other people to read the passage for us. One of the new things we are trying this year is encouraging each one of us read the scripture one, by ourselves. Encouraging people to read a book, our main textbook, Bible, cover to cover, at least let the word speak to us clearly. Instead, having other people to read for me. Well, it's God's word. Why shouldn't we pay attention to word of God? Has it ever occurred to you how hard it is to pay attention in church? Paying attention to everything what we are doing in the church, attentively paying attention to all the elements and participate? It is hard sometimes. There are times when the preacher is boring. Make a word of God is very boring. Sometimes I do, I know that. I confess. And yet, the word of God has a power to penetrate the soul. Regardless of what Sonny said or what other people said, reading the scripture itself has a power to penetrate each souls of us. To give us a message of God. If we pay attention to what we are reading, what we are hearing, there are times when you have so many troubles on your mind. Some people have uneasiness when they are on the way to come to church. Husband and wife fight, and have little children, they are having a hard time to putting themselves well to come to church. And it's because of some other trouble in your life, that because of our minds were filled up with the troublesome issues that hindering us to give our full attentive being in the worship. There are times when you are looking forward to something and you dwell on it. Probably the person like my hubby, right after church, going home and turning the TV, watching the football, filled up his mind. I encourage him, just let go of it. I will make sure that you will go home and watch it. And then because we just thought of the football or some other issue that dwell in our mind, that will hinder us to fully giving our attention to God and in the movement of the Holy Spirit. There are times when our neighbors, the person who is sitting next to you, distract you, or you will distract your neighbor by making a comment with a word or attitude. Sometimes we do have it. It's hard to pay attention in church. I know from my experience. But it's vital to pay attention in church. As we pay attention, God can convict us. As we pay attention, God can encourage us. As we pay attention, God can speak to us. Louder voice. As we pay attention, God can help us more effectively. And as we pay attention, we also help God by not distracting others with whom He wants to speak. To have a church, we need the people who are attendees, allies, and attentive. These are the people we need to have church. Next, verse 5 and 6, it talks about other kind of people, what we need. People who attend and align and attentively pay attention to what is going on, what's going on in the church, in worship. But is it without this, it is going to be hard to be the church. Verse 5 and 6, let's read it together. Verse 5 and 6, ready? Go. Ezra opened the book. All people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their face to the ground. Here, Israel and other leaders were standing on the platform, altar area, like a joint and an IR in the altar area. Who was Ezra? He was a priest there. In verse 6, Ezra praised the Lord and all the people agreed. Amen. The energy is there. Praise the Lord. And then do I need to have a one-man show in here to praise the Lord? No, that's not the church. Church is a teamwork. I praise God. Each one of us praising God with a special gift God given to us. And we are praising God together by saying, Amen. Amen. We are here to praise God. The spirit of gratitude is a must to have a church. To have a church, we needed to praise God. Praise God for being who He is. Praising God for the blessings in the past, present, and the future. Having a spirit of gratitude is a must for having a church. Someone asked, why we have a confession of pardon in the church? And are we trying to drive the church with the guilt? No, that's not the purpose of it. Some people are having hard time to think of something to be thankful. At least through the confession, we realize that we are the sinner. But yet, with the pardoning portion of the confessional prayer, we realize that we are the forgiven sinners. Forgiven people through the unconditional love of God. At least one thing we can remind ourselves in the worship service, we can thankful for. We are forgiven by the unconditional love shown through Jesus Christ. We have so many things we can have. We already have. Those things are called the blessings. If we start to count the blessing and say, thank God, thank you, and we are going to be welcomed, and we're going to be in the church, we will have a church. What are you thankful for in this morning? Let me give you one moment to count the blessings in your life. Think of something you can thankful for right now. If you want, you can share it. What are you thankful for? Do you have something you wanted to share? Are you thankful for something? Not so sure?
Hmm? A grandchild.
Grandchild. Awesome. Our church. I'm thankful for my hubby. I'm thankful for a lot of things in here. But I would like to hear from you. You need to have something you need to name in order to be in church and have church. Without this gratitude, spirit of gratitude, it's going to be very hard for you to have a church. Without that, you cannot be happy. You need to reinforce yourself what to be thankful for. At least one thing per day, if it's possible. We are thankful for, we receive so many blessings. If you start to look at it, you will join with me saying, amen, thank you, praise the Lord. To have a church, we need the people who were attendees, allies, and attentive with the thanksgiving spirit. But verse 8, it added one more thing in there. Let's read it at verse 8. Ready? Verse 8. Let's read it together. They read the book of the law of the God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Proclamation, reading the scripture. It is a must. When we get together, the scripture, main textbook, needed to be right in front of our eyes and nose right in front of us. People read the book together. People read the word of God together. And that they try to understand the meaning of God. Here, Ezra gave them some instruction and guideline, show the meaning of the passage, and explain it to them. But is that they're working together. It is not the end of the proclamation. Just read the Bible, and it just suddenly interpret what the Bible teacher is to interpret for us. But is it the power of the word of God is the continues, verse 9 and 12. Let's read it together, verse 9 and 12. Ready? Go. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest, and scribe, and the Levites who were instructed in the people say to them all, this day is sacred to the Lord, your God. Do not mourn and weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the word of the law. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send a portion of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. Here, knowing the word of God by reading and understanding really hurt their feeling that they are not good enough to be loved by God. And yet, the scripture, this passage clearly says that don't stay there. Because of our sinful nature, God sent His only begotten Son. You are forgiven. This is holy day because of the presence of God. Because of God, you can be joyful. And this is a new day, new holy day. Be joyful by knowing that you are being loved by God. The reading and preaching of the Word of God will do the same thing for today. If you are here and not sure about getting to heavenly home and not having an eternal life, you need a conviction to change your heart. to see that sinner like me being saved by the grace of God. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior already, then you need a conviction from the Word of God that motivate you to improve your Christian lifestyle. The reading and preaching of the Word of God will also bring joy, not just conviction of being who we are, but it gives joy when it is understood clearly. When people understood but not knowing where to go, they're sad because they, at the light of Christ, they saw how sinful they are. But they truly when they truly understand the Word of God, they become joyful. Yes, I was a sinner, and yet God saved me. God forgave me. Today is the Lord's Day. This is the day of salvation. We can eat and drink together and be joyful. The purpose of having church is to restore the joy of salvation. I'm encouraging people to come to church, not because of the growth of the church, and not because we need to deal with the finance issues and all these different things. No, that is not the reason I'm inviting people to come to church. I am inviting people to come to church because I want people to be happy, have a joy in their life. We are pursuing the joy and happiness in our life. But people are seeking this amazing joy in some other place, in wrong place. The source of joy, source of happiness, is right here in worship. Our God, I want you to be happy. That's what I'm coming to church to be happy with you. I'm inviting people to come to church not because we needed to fill up the chair. No, I want people to be happy because of this joy. Jesus died on the cross by taking all our suffering on the cross for us. Your suffering, your burden can be laid down at the foot of the cross and get the joy out of the Jesus' salvation act upon the cross. Don't you want your friends to have amazing joy God is offering through Jesus Christ? This is the outcome of the worship. This is outcome of the church. While we are having church, while we are encouraging people to have a church, while we are encouraging people to come to worship, to be church, because we care for our brothers and sisters in our community. I would like to have more happy people around me in this church, in this community, in this world. That's why I'm sharing the joy of salvation wherever I go. That is called church, I do believe. I'm inviting people gather together to be the attendee first and ally together and passionately and attentively paying attention to the movement of the Holy Spirit by reading the scripture, by hearing the interpretation of the Word of God and applying it to our life. We are having joyful life. Let's have church and let's be happy as outcome of having church together in Christ's name.